Hello, we appreciate you joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We're going through the book of Ephesians, and we're glad that you have joined us this morning on the program. We are open for worship services during the current virus and pandemic. If you have been wanting a place to visit, you would be our honored guest. We would love to have you. We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. If you need more information about the church, give us a call, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We also have a website with a lot of materials that you can use to study, and that can be found at wbcoc.org, wbcoc.org. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. So we are open to worship God, and we would love to have you visit with us. We've been going through the book of Ephesians, and I want to wrap up some comments from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14, along in that area. And then we will look at the next few verses in Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. In our last lesson, and by the way, all of our Let the Bible Speak programs are recorded and put on our website soon after it debuts on Saturday morning, and you can get those recordings on our website, the wbcoc.org. Just click on the Let the Bible Speak program menu, and you can get the previous studies that we've been going through in the book of Ephesians and other studies. But in our last lesson, we were talking about how Paul was writing about walking in love and walking in light. And I wanted to just wrap up some comments from last week. In Ephesians 5 and verse 14, Paul writes, "Wherefore," he says, "awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee." And so Paul says, "Wherefore," based upon all that is wrong with the works of darkness and various sins that he had been listing from chapter 5, verse 3 and following, Christians must stay away from that worldliness, from that darkness, and Christians must remain vigilant and stay spiritually awake or spiritually alert so that they are not deceived into practicing these sinful things. And so awake is not awake from physical sleep, but awake spiritually. Make sure that we are spiritually alert and do not engage in the worldly sins that are around us. They must be living a life and wake up from the dead. He says, "Arise from thou that sleepest and arise from the dead." Awake from your sleep, excuse me, and arise from the dead. Dead in sin, chapter 2 and verse 1. Arise, come out of that life of sin and darkness, verse 14. Walk in the light, and Christ shall shine upon thee with his life-giving light. And so it is very important to walk in love, chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in light, chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And the light of God's truth. I wanted to make one other observation on this text before getting into a new section this morning on the program. If you start in verse 14 and work your way back to verse 3, you will see a progression of thought. Normally, when we read and study our Bible, we move in a forward direction. But in this case, I want us to move in a backward direction. I want us to notice how that the Christian can fall into sin and engage in sin. Verse 3, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, and so forth. And so I ask the question then, how is it that a Christian can engage in these kinds of sins? Well, there's a progression, and I want us to look at that going backwards, verse 14 back to verse 3. Notice in verse 14, Paul says that we need to wake up and we need to be living in the light of truth. Step number one, when a Christian falls asleep spiritually, they're going to be that much closer to sin. They're not reading their Bible regularly. They're not praying. They're not worshiping God regularly. They're not spiritually attuned to the temptations and things around them. They are spiritually sluggish and asleep. That's step number one in moving toward a life of sin. And then there's the next step, and that is when a Christian stops reproving what is wrong. When we stop saying abortion and homosexuality and divorce for any cause is wrong, when we stop reproving those things with the Word of God, not just with our opinion, but with the Word of God, stop reproving those things, we are one step closer to actually engaging in sinful things. So look at verses 12 and 13. We're moving backward. The Christian is supposed to reprove those unfruitful works of darkness. They are to be reproved by the light, verse 13, of truth. And so, number one, if we are not spiritually alert, number two, if we stop reproving sinful things and wrong things, we are getting ourselves closer and closer to actually doing those things. Then number three, we might have fellowship with it. We don't actually do it yet, but we are in fellowship with people who do. And so, Paul talks about that we are not to be partakers with them, verse 7. We are to walk as children of light. We're to walk in the truth. We're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So verses 7 through 11, we're not to have fellowship. But if we start fellowshipping those things where we go along with it, we don't actually engage in it ourselves. If we stop reproving it, then often that leads to condoning it, even though we might not personally do it in our lives. So, we're working our way back towards sin. I call it the steps toward sin, the Christian's steps toward sin. And you'll find that from time to time. Those who claim to be New Testament Christians, they have sin in their life on a regular basis. How do they get to that point? There are steps backward toward that sinful life. So now, they're fellowshipping it. Let's look at the next step. If you go back to verse 6, let no man deceive you with empty words. The next step is we're deceived by the claims of the world, by the doctrines of the world, that sinful things are not all that bad. See, we've stopped being spiritually alert. We've stopped reproving sinful things. We're in fellowship with it. And now we're deceived into thinking, and our thinking has changed from the Word of God to the wisdom of the world. And we're thinking now, well, it's not all that bad. Instead of the wrath of God coming upon the sons of disobedience, we're deceived into thinking, well, God is okay with these things. And then the last step, of course, verses 3 through 5, is that we are actually engaging in these things. So you'll find among some who claim to be New Testament Christians, fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, and filthy talk, and things that are listed in those verses. So look at that, what I call the steps back to sin, and it's a progression. It starts when we refuse to be spiritually alert, and then we stop reproving things, saying that things are wrong, and then we fellowship things, and then we are deceived, and then finally we actually find ourselves doing those things. So any person this morning who is claiming to be a New Testament Christian, think about that. Think about that progression backwards. And ask yourselves, as I ask myself, am I headed in that direction? And if so, I need to stop it before it's too late. So I hope that those thoughts are helpful along those lines. Let's stay spiritually alert. Let's keep reproving things that are wrong, not having fellowship with things that are wrong, not being deceived by worldly wisdom, not engaging in sinful things. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 21, where Paul is going to write about walking in wisdom and the Spirit. Having written about the Christian's walk in love and walk in light, Paul is now going to write about the Christian's walk in wisdom, verses 15 through 17, and walking in the Spirit, chapter 5, 18 through 21. So let's look at that. Let's read the text first and then come back through like we've been doing and making some comments on the text. Paul writes, "Look, therefore, carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ." Great admonitions here. Paul begins this section of the epistle with the word therefore, which connects what he now writes with his previous thought. The Ephesian Christians were not to walk in darkness, but to be spiritually awake. Therefore, Paul writes, these Christians were to look carefully how they walk. It's a part of being spiritually awake. When we get up each day, we're going to be careful what we say and do and think and how we dress and where we go and how we act. We're going to be careful in our walk. Careful spiritual living. They must be careful not to fall back into a walk of darkness and a walk that is unwise, but they are to walk wisely. Paul writes, "Look therefore carefully how you walk." Look carefully. The King James and the New King James read, "Walk circumspectly." Literally, looking around. We have the word circle, circus, different words like that, circumference, a circular area, looking around. This is a very literal translation because the Greek word means literally to walk by looking around. And so a person who does that, of course, is going to be careful. A careful, circumspect, vigilant, watching all around life. In addition to that, they were to be wise. Wise and walk according to God's wisdom that is set forth in the gospel. Back in chapter 1 and verse 8, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. The wisdom here is the wisdom that comes from God's Word, the New Testament gospel. And they were to walk that way, not according to the wisdom of the world. Let us be wise, friends, wise based upon the Word of God. That's why reading our Bible regularly and obeying it is important. Number three, they were to redeem the time because the days are evil. Paul writes something similar in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, literally buying up the opportunity. Use our days to the best possible, in the best possible way, for the best possible purpose and service to God. You think about when we were younger, how many days we wasted in foolish living. Our time is short. We have a limited time to live. We don't live forever. We live about 80 years by reason of strength. Psalm chapter 90. We need to get a heart of wisdom, the psalmist says there in that psalm, and count our days, number our days, that we might get a heart of wisdom. And not just simply obey the Lord before it's too late, but use each day, using the opportunity for the best service for God and to God. These Ephesian Christians were to use their time wisely in the service of Christ as they walk through life. I think one version reads, making the most of your time, or making the most of every opportunity, another version says. So let's be doing that. Paul does not want them to be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's one thing to hear the Lord's will, and it's another thing to hear and understand it. So let us read and hear in order to understand. And if you don't, let's get together and study God's Word together so that we can learn more. I can help you to understand it, just like others have helped me to understand the Word of God. Notice that the will of the Lord can be understood. A lot of people say, well, I can't understand my Bible. No, you can, and you must. So it is possible. It takes some reading and some time and some studying and some learning. And you can know the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is what His desire is for mankind, and it is revealed in the New Testament gospel. We don't know what the Lord's will is by reading His mind. He has to reveal that to us through the Holy Spirit and through the words of the apostles, 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 16. The Ephesians' former life in sin, we studied that earlier in chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, that was a life of foolishness. Now their life in Christ is guided by the will of the Lord. They learned Christ, Ephesians 4, verse 20, when Paul came and taught them the gospel. When they heard it, when they were taught it, chapter 4, 20 and 21, not a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, not forced to know God's will, but they were taught it. Some of them learned Christ, heard and learned. Others did not. You can read Acts chapter 19, and there were some Jews in particular that are mentioned there. It says that they were hardened and disobedient. They didn't want to learn, but others did, and they became the New Testament church in the city of Ephesus. And so, not by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, but by hearing and learning and wanting to know and understanding, and they were to continue doing that. It wasn't a one-time learning situation, but continue learning God's will. And part of that, of course, would come by reading this letter to them and applying it in their lives. And so the will of the Lord is His desire for mankind, and it's revealed in the New Testament gospel. And it takes us away from that former foolish life. Now, So they're to walk in wisdom, and we need more of that today. The wisdom of God's word and will. Not earthly wisdom, James 3, but heavenly wisdom. And that's a great chapter to read toward the end of the chapter there about earthly wisdom versus heavenly wisdom. Secondly, they were to walk in the Spirit. They were to walk by the influence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul did not want these Christians to be unwise, but or foolish, but to be wise. He didn't want them to be drunken with wine. He wanted them to be filled with the Spirit. Paul uses a verb here, which means to grow drunk with wine. Do not get drunk with wine, one version says. It's a growing process. Yes, drunkenness is condemned in the Scripture, different places where drunkenness is mentioned, Galatians chapter 5, a work of the flesh, and other places. But the process of leading up to that drunkenness is also condemned in Scripture. Here, and in other places like 1 Peter 4, verse 3, drinking small amounts of wine, that is just as much a way of the world as drunkenness. So stay away from that type of thing. And Paul says that getting drunk with wine leads to riot or dissipation or excess. One version says debauchery. The word translated riot refers to a life that is prodigal or wasteful, profligate, wanton, just like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 and verse 13. Instead of being filled with wine, Paul wanted these Christians to be filled with the Spirit. When a Christian is filled with the Spirit, they are filled with the knowledge of His will, the influence of His words. It's called spiritual wisdom and understanding in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. And when they allow the word of Christ to dwell in them richly, Colossians 3 verse 16, the parallel passage to this. So being filled with the Spirit, being filled with His words, His message, His influence through those words, and they will become spiritually minded. Now, Paul is going to follow this command. It's actually a command, be filled with the Spirit. That's not optional. He's going to follow this command with five participles. If you'll read in your Bible, you'll notice some words that end with ing. That's how we identify that in English. So we have speaking and singing and making and giving thanks and subjecting. These are participles. And they show how the command is to be carried out. Here's a command, be filled with the Spirit. And then we would say, by speaking, by singing, by making melody, by giving thanks, by subjecting. That's how we carry out the command to be filled with the Spirit. And so he says, first of all, speaking one to another. When Christians are filled with the Spirit, they will be speaking one to another. That's how they will carry that out. The words one to another demonstrate that Paul has in mind a congregational activity. It's an activity that requires reciprocal action, everyone singing back and forth to each other. That's why in the New Testament church, there were no solos or choirs where only certain ones are singing, but everyone, congregational singing. That's why in the Warfield church, we don't have solos or choirs. It's not that we don't have the talent. It's not scriptural. It's not the New Testament pattern for just one person to be singing or a few and everybody listening. All are to be singing one to another. So congregational activity. And the type of speaking is found in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Those are the types of songs that we sing. Number two, the second participle, singing. When Christians are filled with the Spirit, they will be singing. And you find that in all of the New Testament passages that deal with music and the congregational church, it is always singing. Notice that Paul writes singing and not playing on an instrument. And I know that instrumental music is so popular today, but do you know that it did not come into the religious service until many years after the New Testament church? It was added by man. Now, in the Old Testament, they had instruments of music for the Old Testament Jewish worship service in the temple worship service. David and others were commanded to have musical instruments, but not in the New Testament church. There are two types of music, instrumental or vocal. Those are the only two types of music there are. And vocal music, singing, is what the Lord has authorized for His church in the New Testament and today. All the New Testament passages, like I said, talk about singing when it comes to Christians worshiping God in the New Testament. Everyone, without exception. So singing, not playing on an instrument. Number three, the third participle is making melody. And some people think, okay, there you go, making melody on an instrument. But read it carefully. Making melody with your hearts. When Christians are filled with the Spirit, they will be making melody, literally psalming with the heart. Paul writes, making melody with your heart, not with an instrument of music. Now, the NIV reads, make music. And somebody might say, well, there you go, there's your instrument. But the heart, not an instrument, is what makes the melody or the music. Remember, there are two types of music, instrumental and vocal. And vocal music is just as much music as instrumental music is. It's no less music. And what is authorized in the New Testament is vocal. We have to go by what the New Testament teaches, not the Old Testament. We're not under the old law. It was done away. It was nailed to the cross. We talked about that when we went through our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and following. We're not under the old law. So under the new law, singing. And then giving thanks. When Christians are filled with the Spirit, they will be giving thanks. And always, not just from time to time, and for all things, even things in life that we wouldn't think that we would give thanks for. Can you give thanks for this current pandemic? Can you give thanks for this current virus? Can we look for things to be thankful even in negative times? Absolutely. It's giving thanks in always and in all things in the name of our Lord Jesus. And then number five, subjecting yourselves. We are to be servants one to another, serve one another, and respect and reverence one another in the fear of Christ. So, walking in wisdom and walking by the Spirit. We would encourage you to do that. Thank you for being with us this morning on the program. We hope that these studies in the book of Ephesians are helpful. And if we can get together and study with you, please contact us. We hope that you'll have a good day.